Farmer is defined as the person who engaged in agricultural.
I thought you were striking farmer.
That's the motion.
Oh, the motion. Well, now we're gonna try and see whether, I thought we were gonna see whether a person flew or not. If it does, then your motion would be in order. Is that a friendly amendment to the Kintai amendment?
Yeah, that's a friendly amendment to the Kintai amendment, I think.
Okay.
Because if they, if it's an operation that involves going to a different person's land and performing a service, I think that legal services is correct. That would be included in the current language. Only if the workers went out on their own would it necessarily be incidental. That's not an operation.
I don't think it's necessary, but.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hill, I would prefer the language as we worked through the last time for a couple of reasons. The key one is, I think you might be right that would take care of the problem that I was talking about, but the key one is I think associations are inappropriately exempted from the farm labor contractor statutes to the extent they're involved in recruitment of labor. And given the background and legislative history of this proposal, I fear that changing the word from farmer to person now would be interpreted by the courts as legislative intent to adopt the proponent's interpretation of person to include association. Now, perhaps that's overly careful, but I do think that farmer is sufficient.
Let's try farmer and see if it works. That would be my choice, unless you.
Oh, the motion.
The original language.
Yeah, we had a motion on the floor, and we're discussing it. I'm expressing opinion that I'm not supportive of the motion to amend. But
I prefer to keep it farmer, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
My first choice.
Okay. Well, you want to?
I'll withdraw the motion, and I can count.
Okay, I think that's a 2-2 deal there. Thank you, Mr. Dale.
Thank you,
sir. The chair would then move to. Again, send Ann Gross House Bill 32.
Somebody gesticulating vigorously.
Gesticulating. Oh.
I want to hear about the burdens of being a
Mr. Chairman, I just have one technical amendment I'd like to propose.
And who are you?
Yeah, I'm Paul Tiffany, Administrator of the Wage Law Division.
Okay.
On line 4 of the A6 amendments, you have the word hires employees. Hires workers. If we were to change the word hires to employees, you'd get the same terminology as used elsewhere in the statute. Hires isn't used.
Employee.
We don't use the word hire. We use the word employee.
We use the word, for example, back here on the definition of a farm labor contractor, you have in page 1 of the bill, it talks about on line 8, recruits, solicits, apply, or employs workers. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you want to repeat that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The other one that I suggested to the council is probably moot at this point.
Okay.
So we just want to use parallel language so it says recruit, supply, solicits, or employs workers. Any objection to that as an editorial amendment? Okay. Boom. Now the chair would move Ann Gross to House Bill 3237 as further amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there an objection? Hearing none, so ordered, then gives the folks up the gorge something to do for the next session. I think it's another bill. Gosh, what do we have left? Gee, we have only one little bill left over. Okay, 2775.
What about Labor Appreciation Month?
We already did Labor Appreciation Month.
I'd be recorded as an I.
Oh, wait.
Unanimous permission to be recorded as an I on HCR.
Is there any objection to that? Then we'll show them as recorded as a I on HCR 3. And let's call the parties up on House Bill 2775. We've never heard this bill, so let's get the proponents up here. They can tell us what a wonderful idea this is.
Well, we heard it.
Have we heard this bill already?
Once. Friday.
We heard this bill?
But we didn't hear it.
Go away.
What is it?
Oh, we'd come up.
To.
You have an amendment?
What's the number?
2775.
Have we already heard from you guys on this?
Yeah,
you have an amendment?
Yes, we have an amendment.
Okay, let's hear your amendment, and then we're going to hear from...
Your file I put up there.
The opponents who have yet to been heard of.
I just can't imagine there'd be any.
Oh, there are indeed.
For the record, Joe Gilliam with the National Federation of Independent Business. We talked about this bill last Friday. We found some glitches in the original, or amendments from the House side imprinted in this bill. We unsuspectingly left out a very important sentence, and that is at Section 1, right at the top of the text.
There's a hand amendment in gross, and that's supposed to be crossed out.
Sorry. That's okay.
My pen didn't left copy.
Oh, no. Okay, I've got an amended version. So we're taking back in all of the deleted material with the exception of the word provided. Oh, no, no, no.
After immediately, we restore the deleted material on lines 5, 6, and 7, put a period after immediately, continue to delete the remainder of those lines. They need to see this. This is what we...
Okay, so the first line reads, whenever an employer discharges an employee or where such employment is terminated by mutual agreement, all wages earned and unpaid at the time of such discharge shall become due and payable immediately.
Period.
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 That's
okay.
Right.
Period. We like that.
And that's all on page one?
That's all on page
that's
one.
That's all on page one.
Now, the material on lines 7 through 17 remains deleted. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
The bold-faced material lines 18 to 28 is deleted. Is that correct?
Yes.
Good. Those in the audience who are following along can see that. Lines 1, 2, 3, and 4, it looks like those are deleted.
Yes.
Right.
Now, we then find ourselves with a new sub 2, and do we have further amendments?
Yes. A new section 3 dealing with seasonal farm workers.
Okay, notwithstanding section 1. Okay.
2775.
Is that amendment acceptable to you as a new section 3?
Yes, sir, Senator Kearns.
Mr. Gilliam, they're all okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, what have we got then? I come to you and I say, boss, I'm out of here. Take this job. Back.
Take this job. If you do that 48 hours before you leave, I'll have a check ready for you on the spot. If you do that and leave immediately, I'll have 5 days to prepare your paycheck unless the regularly scheduled paycheck or pay date occurs before that. And then you'll be issued that paycheck along with everyone else.
Well, why couldn't you do that? Why couldn't you do for me what we're done for the... I kind of like what we did for the... farm workers. Why not 48 hours for me?
Senator Kearns,
I mean, why are we discriminating?
That's the existing language, is the 48 hours. And that's what's in the sub 2 that you're deleting.
Yeah.
And we feel that imposes a hardship on employers.
So the request is to go from 48 hours to 5 days.
That's right.
That's right.
From 2 days to 5 days. That's the whole point.
Why are we doing this?
The difference between the seasonal and that is more farm operations pay on a day-to-day basis, so it's not an unusual occurrence to do that in their type of work.
Not all do, though.
Not all do.
Not Kintai.
They also move more for jobs.
Yes, and we didn't want to get in the way of that or mess that up.
I got to tell you something. You know, when I go back and look at what's in current law, I'll be damned if I know where the problem is. If I come to you and say, adios, it's Friday, it's 5 o'clock, I say, I'm out of here. You run a great restaurant. I think you're a great American, but I've had it. I'm not working here anymore. I'm not coming in. It's Friday at 5. I haven't given you 48 hours notice. You've got Saturday, Sunday, and Monday's Labor Day, and then you got 48 hours following that to give me a check. Is that correct?
That's correct, Senator. Right.
That's 5 days.
That's correct. It's not five. It's not five working days.
But it's 5 days.
But it is 5 days.
Five
we days. Think that this 5 days will allow employers to cut that check more frequently in its regular pay cycle. without having to make a special exception for the employee who chooses to leave employment. That does cost us money when we have to cut that extra check out of the cycle. This only does it for 5 days. It's not, we don't expect that person to work a long time.
The only change is 48 hours to 5 days.
In terms of when the employee quits, that's correct.
Yeah.
Okay, now tell me about termination.
Termination, all we do is redefine immediately to say that immediately, it's immediately unless it's a Saturday, Sunday, or holiday, and then it's the first business day. That's what immediately means then.
Rather than that moment.
Rather than at that moment, that's correct, Senator Hill.
So the first regular business day after the employment termination. So
reasonable. Now what's chapter 565?
Fairs.
Yeah, Mr.
Fairs.
Mr. Chair, okay. County and state fairs.
How about the Oregon Country Fair?
No, Mr. Chair. Yeah, that's not included.
They'd be under the one day.
Renaissance fair, probably.
You know, now, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Hill.
I need to be reminded why the fairs would get 48 hours and everybody else, all your other people, would be under 24 hours for the definition of immediately. What's special about the fairs?
Mr. Chair, John McCulley, representing the Oregon Fairs Association. The information that we have from the various counties who run the payroll for the fairs is that it is taking them 2 to 3 days to run a special payroll outside the normal county payroll cycle for those fairs. We're talking about a large number of people who all have to be done at once with, of course, the various withholdings. Many of them are PERS, they're public employees or teachers who are working at the fair, and they're all different number of withholdings that have to be done that are not normal with the county payroll. So the counties who are running those payrolls for the fairs say it is taking them that long physically to deliver those checks.
I'm sure it takes you twice that length.
I'm not sure, Mr. Chair, because I think Lane County may do their own payroll in the county itself. I don't know.
They do everything differently in Lane County. I can assure you.
I see you're no McCulloch fan.
Oh, well, I just find it. No, we can make a soap opera out of that. Okay, that's immaterial. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. I think we understand. Ms. Talbot has a technical question for you before
Is it your intention that when it says within 5 days, that counts the day of the quit? In other words, if it happens on a Friday, the payday, assuming they don't give 48 hours notice, would be the following Friday?
That is, the fifth day would be the Friday. That's correct. So it would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 5 days.
So,
if he quits on Friday.
So you're not counting the day.
Not counting the day that he quit.
5 days following the notice of quit.
Right.
So that's what's intended.
Correct.
Okay.
What's happening out there in the real world now?
Senator Karens, I believe what we're attempting to pass here is very accurately reflects what happens in the real world today.
Thank you, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Now, let's hear from, I think the department has got, Mr. Tiffany, you're still here. Come up and identify yourself. Where are we on the handed growth bill you've got there, I assume?
Mr. Chairman, I ask for, I'm Paul Tiffany, Administrator of the Wage and Hour Division. Bureau opposes this bill. We oppose this bill in the House. We went on record as saying so. And if it pleases the chair, I'd like to read a few reasons why.
Okay.
Bill significantly changed the state's policy on how final paychecks are issued. Probably the employees most impacted by this proposal are low-income wage earners, whom we see the most. These are people that are because of their inability to accumulate any kind of savings, credit, or assets, must live from paycheck to paycheck. As long as these wage earners are employed, landlords are willing to extend credit. And other creditors, such as utilities, are willing to ride out to the next paycheck. However, when these employees are no longer working or looking for work, the environment changes, and their chances for extending credit and what have you is extended. Major groups of persons who would impact would be the homeless, those who live from day to day, and those that can't find work, such as low-income wage earners, people who work in nursing homes, foster care homes, daycare centers, fast foods, other restaurants. These are the kinds of workers we're talking about. These are low-income, minimum wage people who, for one reason or another, do not have the means with which to survive from day to day. I apologize for the state of my testimony, however, wasn't prepared. Failure to pay these people promptly and on time may mean the difference between eating that day, a roof over their heads, how far they can travel, or if they can travel to their next job. Over the years, the Wage and Hour Division has seen and been involved in all of these issues. Because the law is strong now, and the division and the employees generally have been successful in convincing employers that prompt payment of wages is in everyone's best interest. For example, employees are not required to wait for their wages, and employers wrap up their employment agreement with the employee, and that's been the best way to handle business. If they're required to wait for any significant length of time, it's been our impression that it's a very big hardship for them. Now, the bill has been changed since what it was first was in the House, and I'm glad to see that the immediate pay provisions have been reinstated in some cases. We think that the inconvenience for the employer cannot stand against the needs of employees to feed themselves or families and to move freely without artificial barriers and to meet their financial commitments. With that, Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you very much. I appreciate your allowing me to enter into the record our objection.
Okay, quite all right. Questions of Mr. Tiffany?
Yes.
Senator Kendall.
First of all, Mr. Tiffany, I don't think you appreciate today's modern business practices. I think you're back in the days when a guy reached in his pocket and handed an employee cash. Secondly, if the person that you're talking about needed the money for the next meal, if they worked a few more days, if they kept on working, they wouldn't have that that cash available either. So I don't think your argument holds holds water at all. I mean, if the guy quit this Friday, well, if he wouldn't have quit and he'd have worked in next week, he wouldn't have got paid till the next payday. So how was he going to make the payday anyhow?
Mr. Chair, Senator Kintai, this bill provides that if he were to quit without notice on Friday, he may not get paid until the following Friday.
Yeah. Okay. But if he's in that dire financial situation, why did he quit?
Yeah, haven't we? Yeah,
any,
go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, there are any numbers of reasons why people quit. I imagine some legitimate, some not. But I imagine all of us can conjure up reasons why people quit. The thing is how are you going to carry me? How am I going to carry me and my family to the next payday, to the next paycheck?
All right. If he continued working, how would he carry them?
Well,
he wouldn't have gotten his paycheck till the next payday. So
that's a good capitalist answer.
Ms. Chairman.
Senator Hill.
Okay. The way it's written now, if the employer fires the employee for cause or not, the money must be paid immediately if it's a seasonal farm worker, as defined under 197.675, or by the end of the next working day for anybody else except fair employees who get it before the end of the next two working days.
No.
Except if immediately doesn't mean immediately, if it happens on a Saturday, Sunday, or holiday. So it could be, I think Mr. Right. So for purposes of the discharge, immediately means the next business day, except if the discharge occurs on a Saturday, Sunday, or a holiday, which would then be the first business day thereafter.
So you get canned from your job on a Saturday afternoon. By Monday at 5, close of business, your check's got to be in your hand.
If Monday wasn't a holiday.
If Monday's a holiday, then it's Tuesday. If you get canned on a Sunday, it's Monday at 5. If you canned on a Monday, it's Tuesday at 5. That's what this says. Ashley, no, it's not. That's not correct. If you get canned on a Monday, it's a Monday.
No later than the end of the business day.
Business day. So that's on any normal business day, you're going to get fired, and your employer has decided to terminate you, he or she owes you the money that day. If they decide to terminate you on a Saturday, Sunday, or holiday, it's the next full business day they got to pay you. That's what this bill does now. As opposed to what's in the law now, which says that you get terminated on any day, you get paid off that day. So what we're really doing is affecting Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays. The sum of the amendment here so far. Is that right, Mr. Tiffany?
For termination.
Discharge.
Yes.
Okay. For quits, we're not doing a whole lot different than what's in the law now that says you're supposed to have given them 48 hours notice. And if you gave them 48 hours notice, like on Thursday morning, then by Sunday, Saturday, you're supposed to have your Monday.
Oh. It's excluding Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays.
Oh.
It does that again.
What's the current law now? Oh, yeah. Except Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays. So it's not, the only difference there is we've gone from 48 hours to 5 days.
That's correct.
And they don't give the 48-hour notice.
That's correct.
Boss, I hate your guts. I'm going to stick it out here for 2 more working days, and then I'm down the road. So I'm letting you know before I punch in this morning that it's adios. And you have my check tomorrow night or day after tomorrow. And I'm gone.
A little foreplanning.
Huh?
Little foreplanning.
Yeah. Of course, the guy may punch you out and give you a whole bunch of trouble, and you might walk out then, and then you got to wait 5 days.
That's right.
I don't know. All right.
Seasonals, the 48-hour rule doesn't make an exception for weekends, does it? It's just
no, it doesn't.
48 hours.
Cash them out.
And for seasonals, it's meant that immediately means immediately. It doesn't fall
unless
under
you
the
don't
definition.
Give them 2 days.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Would that possibly work a hardship sometime when they pay daily? Why should a guy, why should a guy who doesn't give 2 days' notice have to wait longer than he would if he?
I think it says the next pay period.
That would be the regularly scheduled pay date.
Pay.
So yeah, but
the first to occur of the next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
fix it.
They never have to skip the pay date.
That doesn't
yeah.
affect.
They never have
three
to skip.
That doesn't affect Section 3, however. What he's suggesting is that every day, based on the weight of the pick, you get paid for the weight you that went across the scale. And at the end of the day, you get paid in cash for that.
It should be at the next regular schedule.
So that if the guy quits without notice, then they say, ha-ha, I got you. Under this new Section 3, I would have to pay you now, and it's Monday at 5. Come back and see me Wednesday at 5. And by the way, get out of my farm labor house, housing, and get your butt down the road. We don't want that to occur.
So I think...
So if it's first to occur of 48 hours, the next regularly scheduled...
So
yes.
Do a pay within 48 hours or at the next regularly scheduled payday after the employee has quit,
whichever
comes first. And we'll just mirror
that language.
Thank you.
All right, now, we have the bill in front of us.
Certainly do.
I meant to ask, is there anyone else who wished to testify in 2775? No one?
I have just one question.
Going once, going twice. We're going to work session on 2775.
Now, ORS 197675 is the correct site. That's what we want to cite for seasonal farm workers. I guess that's to staff.
Yes, it's the definition.
Everybody?
That's in the
okay.
First.
Michael's nodding, yes. Trust you.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, it's referenced over on the other side of the page.
Right.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Hill?
I would move the amendments as...
amended.
As presented by staff.
Right. With their amendments.
With their amendments.
Intended amendment. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
And, Mr. Chairman, I move the bill and to the bill. I appreciate Mr. Tiffany's points. I think that this does recognize... the new complexity of business, particularly small business, where you contract out a lot of the payroll, and Senator Kentai pointed out that people don't pay out of the back pocket much anymore. And I think that it's a real realistic bill and doesn't go too far. So I think that it deserves to be passed. in this point.
Okay, further discussion? Is there objection to the motion? Oops.
1 second. We just added a new subsection in section 2. Doesn't pick that up.
What?
Section 2 now says if an employer willfully fails to pay any wages or compensation of an employee whose employment ceases as provided in 652140, which is section 1, it should say and section 3 of this act.
Okay. Where are we putting that? Point your finger on that.
Page 2, line 27, after 652140, it should say and section 3 of this act.
Yes.
Okay, 652.140 and Section 3 of this 1991 Act.
Mm-hmm.
Then as a penalty for such non-payment, et cetera.
Right.
All right. Any objection to that editorial amendment? Hearing none, so ordered. Objection. Let the record note that I'll object, and the bill goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Already abandoned on. And by the way, we have one executive appointment.
Two executive appointments. That have not been scheduled at the request of the president. We have left them unscheduled for now.
Oh, so they're just saying we're on call.
That's correct.
We are adjourned.
Maybe sure.
With any luck, we're out of here and we're done.